Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, joining me in studio is a TV presenter, a podcaster, social media star from Cork. You might know her from her hilarious nightly Love Island commentary on Instagram. And she's just launched a brand new podcast that celebrates, let's say, the biggest flops in pop culture. We're talking unsuccessful sequels, difficult second albums, and those TV shows and movies that critics just hated at the time, but have since become cult classics. Fionnuala Jones, you're very welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm good. How are you?
I love this. I love this. I love this concept. We'll get into that in a second. But first of all, well done. €16,000 you raised for charity. What was the charity? What was it for and how did you do it?
Oh my God, it feels like a lifetime ago now that we talk about it. Yeah, so I had been doing the Love Island recaps on my Instagram story and I just said, you know what, like this is all a bit silly. Let's do something actually nice and good as well. So I got my followers to donate to, it was Dublin Simon Community and UNICEF, obviously with the situation in Ukraine still happening. And yeah, like I say, it wasn't me raising €16,000, it was the followers and just getting behind a cause. Again, for something that was a little bit silly, surface level, it was nice to be able to
fair
something
play.
Nice.
16,000. That's a good
for
that's,
a lot. Do you know what I mean? For watching some gal slag off reality TV stars,
amazing.
Like, it's not bad going, you know. I'll take that.
It's not bad. I'll take that. So, tell us about flop culture.
Flop Culture is my new podcast, yes, and it's all about our favourite flops. So as you said, maybe things that weren't, things in pop culture that weren't critically or commercially successful that people just love. So I get my guest each week to nominate their own flop. So whether it's a movie, as I said, some people have gone really, really specific and then some people have gone really broad. You know, I have a couple of episodes coming up that are maybe about a specific actor, like a specific career, like time in their career. But it's great fun. Like I'm getting to watch things that I never would have watched, listen to things that I never would have listened to, and
yeah.
Getting some of my own new favourite flops.
I mean,
it's great.
When you say flop, I mean, you think it's going to be quite nasty, but you celebrate this. And I mean, what constitutes as a flop? I mean, what are the key ingredients? Because we said there that, you know, critics might have hated, but now have become a cult classic. But what constitutes as a flop, tell me.
Yeah, look, this is the thing, because I suppose flop has taken on a different meaning in, I suppose, this year and even kind of previous and like modern usage. It could, like, the word flop actually goes back to the 1800s to mean failure. And I suppose we'd most associate it with box office flops.
Yeah.
So movies that cost loads and loads of money and made absolutely no money in the cinemas. But I suppose it's become a lot more colloquial, even among my friends and like young people, I suppose, talking about, I find it among my friends talking about like their favourite pop stars, if they're going through like a bad era, you know, the album's not selling, flop nearly becomes a term of endearment for those people. Like it's their favourite flop, and there are people who are, you know, they could be very successful in their own right, but in some ways they are flopping in other ways. So flop can be anything you want.
Okay.
Flop is a state of mind. That's what I say.
Okay, what film is considered the biggest flop of all time?
I think it's probably Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really up for doing an episode on Waterworld, so this is an open call out. It's like the quintessential example, because you're talking about costs there like exceeded $300 million, which just boggles the mind. It only ended up grossing, I think, $264 million. So, I mean, not that bad. Mm-hmm. Still a decent chunk of change, but it actually ended up breaking even through other revenue streams. And as you said, it's kind of become this cult classic in its own right. Like, people seek it out now because it was a flop.
Yes.
People seek out these things to be like, well, was it actually a flop? Why was it bad? Did it deserve to be this maligned? So it makes money in other ways then. And we found that out with a lot of other examples that we've done for flop culture. Like, there's a movie we did, a Lindsay Lohan movie called I Know Who Killed Me, that is objectively, it's so terrible. It involves twins again. Who let her do another movie about twins? But anyway, but that's kind of had found this following among like horror fans, and you'd often see it at screenings around October and stuff, because it is this like neo-noir thriller kind of thing, but it makes absolutely no sense. It's
amazing.
Like reincarnation, bonkers, just
now I want to watch it.
It's incredible.
Now
it's
you're
so
selling
good.
It to me. Okay, so let's talk about other flops that we might know of cinema-wise. Alexander has to be on there.
Alexander, poor Colin Farrell.
Aww.
But this is what I'm saying. Colin Farrell had this stint of kind of really bad movies, Alexander included. And now he's coming out this other end where he's really on a roll, huge Oscar buzz around him at the minute. So that's why I like to reflect back on where they came
those
from.
Those times.
Him and Angelina Jolie and those very mad accents. Just,
yeah, and dodgy hair.
That's another one I need to rewatch, Alexander, for sure.
I mean, one of the most recent ones I remember is Cats, obviously. That was horrific. It was just terrible. I actually tried to watch it.
Yeah.
In a hotel room with my daughter when I was in Rome, and I was like, and she was like, this is terrible. She's seven. She's like, what is happening?
Sorry, it's bad if the 7-year-olds are even like, this is not good. And that's an example of one that didn't break even, but also critics again were like, what are we watching here? Here's Idris Elba with whiskers singing, I'm scared. This is not entertaining.
And
I am scared.
I had all the ingredients. This is the funny thing about flops. Had all the ingredients. I had Taylor Swift in there. I had Idris Elba. I had Andrew Lloyd Webber. All the ingredients said that, you know, these people are successful. They know what they're doing. They're at the top of their game. Terrible. Not even critics, but people like don't even bother watching it. It's so bad.
That's the thing. And that's why I find flops kind of so fascinating, especially among celebrity and pop culture, because like the odds are stacked with them to succeed, and interrogating why they don't, I just find very interesting. And then in a way, they succeed anyway because they find these other niche audiences. It's mad. I love it. I could talk about it all day.
So let's talk about flops you cover on your podcast. Okay. What was the first one? Was it musician?
The first one was Khalees, which divisive, right?
Odd. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was when I said to people are like, Khalees isn't a flop.
And it's she's so successful.
Exactly. But that's my guest was DJ Louis XIV. He hosts a podcast called Pop Pantheon, and he is an oracle when it comes to pop stars. And I put it to him and he said Khalees. And I was like, I kind of get where you're coming from, but look, it's up to you to defend it when you come on. And he did, I suppose. And as you said, flop culture isn't about being mean. We can be critical when we need to be, but it's absolutely a celebration. And I suppose with Khalees, it was around questioning, you know, why she didn't succeed when you compare her to some of her peers. Like her mainstream breakthrough album, Tasty, came out around the same time as Beyoncé's Dangerously in Love. And we've had all the recent controversy there with Beyoncé sampling her on her most recent album and maybe not asking for permission. Like they should be on the same success levels, and they're just not. Like Khalees is still very influential today in music. So that episode was more around interrogating why and asking why she's not there. And I suppose the issues for Khalees were there were a lot of label issues for her. There was a lot of moving around. Initially she was working a lot with Pharrell and the Neptunes, and they were all kind of friends working together on a music project. And then she was kind of faffed around from label to label, and I think that really unfairly hindered her, and it led to her becoming really disillusioned with the music industry, to the point now where she just lives on a farm and like grows her own produce
Good
and makes beauty products, and she's perfectly happy. She doesn't care. That's the thing. So she's dead right.
That is so interesting. That's one that I never would have thought of. But yeah, she came out around the same time as Beyoncé was having her big album, and then it just goes back to, you know, there's a lot of luck involved and a lot of things. All the stars have to align for you to be on that trajectory to stardom, right?
Yeah.
So another flop you cover is, we got to talk about this, the infamous RTE reality show, Fade Street.
My fave.
I remember when it came out, we were like, what are we watching? But why was that a flop? Ratings wise at the time?
I think it actually did okay ratings-wise. Like, it did well enough to come back for a second season, which was only two episodes, which we get into on the podcast. What a crime against television. But just for Fade Street, I think, like, we have a thing where reality TV is kind of the norm now, and even more in Ireland, that market has gotten so much bigger. But that was kind of, Fade Street was relatively new at the time. But I suppose it was because it was such trying to be a carbon copy of The Hills and The City. And I think as Irish people, we also have an attitude, and especially at that time, where anything's kind of a bit Americanized, there's a bit like a sneer, like, oh, well, sure, why would I be watching that? Why would I be watching these girls running around looking for an apartment? You know what I mean? And also, I suppose you have to think about timing. We were just kind of coming out of the Celtic Tiger, and you're watching these girls again competing for these kind of fake, really badly paid internships. How are they paying for the apartment in Fade Street? You know, it's just, but it's such a relic as well. I love it. Like, Fade Street is such a time capsule for Dublin, I suppose, like Ireland more widely as well. Like, see, like things like Oxygen, RIP, like the nightclubs they were going to, the places. It's such a gem.
And if you don't know, I mean, the very famous now Vogue Williams and Joanne McNally are starring in it, and that's, you know, they're in it.
This is the thing, and that's another thing we asked as well, like, can you really consider this a flop when it actually produced like bona fide stars like Vogue, like Joanne. Roz Purcell was on season two.
I don't know if Joanne would like us putting her success down to the producers of Bane Street.
Being a side character on Bane Street. I take it back, Joanne. Don't hate me. I think
a lot of work and a lot of on the comedy circuit propelled her as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a huge success now, because I think people will be more interested in watching it now than they were back then. Now with the success of the girls, I suppose.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And Vogue references often enough that she thinks it's mad that this was kind of the catapult for her. She comes across very well in it. She is a joy to watch back. She is not acting. She's in it. It's
real.
She is,
yeah. Absolutely. You also discuss who is flop of the week.
Yes.
Who's in the running this week, do you reckon?
Who's in the running this week? Oh my God, Ray J probably, because he's at Kim again talking about the infamous tape. That man just cannot let things go. And also everyone who has been criticising Halle Bailey for being the new Ariel, they're all flops because they're like, it's not realistic. She doesn't have red hair. Well, they're talking about a fictional cartoon mermaid. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, let's watch the live action when it comes out, guys. You know?
I can't wait to see that. Well, listen, Fionnuala Jones, thank you so much for coming in this morning. The podcast is called Flop Culture. It's available on all the usual spots, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. So everyone can go subscribe and check it out. And where can people find you generally?
I am at Fionnuala J on the socials.
Fionnuala J. Go and check her out.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.